Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Mamo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Glad to have you on the show, man. I'm doing good, man.
Good.
Enjoying this Holy Weekend right here. We're having
Easter weekend. So, that's right.
That's right. So I'm glad to have you on the show as always.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming on the show. Thank you for tuning in to Sports Urban Legend. Again, I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Mets and the Yankees, opening week so far. We'll also talk about the Knicks finally clinching their playoff spot, second in 3 years, as they're going to face their destiny and face Donovan Mitchell, the guy who should have been a Nick. They're gonna, you know, this is the matchup we all thought would happen. It's gonna happen. We're gonna talk about that. And of course, yeah, we'll talk about the Nets clinching as well. And last but not least, we'll give you our thoughts on the WrestleMania 39 that went down last week. We'll give you our thoughts, the hits, the misses. But one thing you can always be sure of is that, you know, we're going to give you our brutal honesty of what we thought about, you know, this pay-per-view event, as always. So, again, you know, most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you think about any of these topics, especially this WrestleMania that just went down last week. Feel free to give us your thoughts. And if you want to do that, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But yeah, with that said, yeah, let's lead off with some baseball. You know, we finally got some baseball since last Thursday, or I should say this past Thursday. You know, we finally got some baseball. The Mets, you know, they did their typical dominance on, you know, opening day. They defeated the Marlins, won 3 out of 4. Dominated that series. Scherzer, you know, he didn't have a dominant performance in opening day, but he pitched 3 games, gave up I think 2 home runs if I'm not mistaken. One of the home runs tied the game up 3-3, but the Mets were able to come back. Score some runs for him, and he proved to get the game winner that opening day, and which, believe it or not, Mets statistically have the best winning percentage in opening day than any other team in Major League history. And folks, in case you didn't know, Mets have lost their first 8 opening days from 62 to 69. They lost their 8 straight opening days. The very first game after they won their first World Series, that's when they finally won opening day in the newer decade, 1970s. So literally the Mets won the World Series before they won opening day the following year in the new decade, 1970s. So, and ever since then, Mets record has been impressive. Like, you could hardly beat them, you know. So I mean, props to the Mets. They dominated in Miami, finished 3 out of 1, and then the Brew Crew came. We came to Milwaukee, and I don't know, man. The Mets must have been drunk off their off their ambitious start in Miami. You know, in Milwaukee, you know, the land of, beer and cheese. They must have hanged out with the Fonz, like Vernon Shirley or something like that, but because they didn't show up. They did not show up in Milwaukee.
Those Milwaukee fans poisoned your drinks because you're trying to get Aaron Rodgers away from their town.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because, man, you know Bernie the Brewer, right? Their mascot.
Yeah.
You know, every time they hit a home run, he goes down the slide, right?
Yep.
Dude, Scherzer's like next start. My goodness, dude, like Scherzer, like I'm not even joking, man. Scherzer in his last start, this guy gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs.
Man.
Bernie the Brewer didn't even have a chance to go after the first home run.
He had to keep going up the slide.
He barely had a chance. He had to go back up and slide down again and then go back up and slide down again. Then the next inning, he gave up, like, back-to-back again. And then that's when they took him out. So, like, it was crazy. It was, like, insane. It was insane, man. Like, Bernie the Brewer, like, literally almost died on the slide. He almost had a heart attack and slid down. Like it was crazy. And now I'm noticing, I don't know if the Brewers ever did this before, but now it's like they have, like, this special effect when they do the – after the home run, they, like, have, like, this NWO black and white foggy, you know, thunderstorm kind of, you know, I think they had the alarm, too, going off. It was like this NWO black and white thing.
On the screen?
Yeah, on the screen. Like they turned the whole stadium black and white while the thing's going down. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was insane.
I got to see the highlights of this now.
It was insane, man. They were acting like it was like a rainfall because he, you know, I guess they hit them out of the ballpark, and you know, I guess they must have hit a cloud or something.
Wow.
But man, that series was embarrassing. They swept the crap out of it. That was their home opener, you know, their home opening series too. Because they I think they won the series in Chicago, but they didn't hit no home runs whatsoever. I think they won 2 out of 3, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, man, the Brew Crew, man, they just – man, you would have thought it was the 82 Brewers, you know, the Harvey Wallbanger gang that lost, you know, what was it, Game 7 to Keith Hernandez's St. Louis Cardinals. You know,
we
like they
– you guys.
They destroyed us, man. It was scary. It was scary how they destroyed us, man. Like, but thank God we came back home. Got that home cooking. We were supposed to have our home opener on Thursday, but I think they felt the weather was going to be too hot to play, so they pushed it back to Friday. And, you know, home cooking, man, the Mets bounced back. Tyler McGill pitched 2 years in a row, you know, the home opener, won both games. I think he's the last pitcher to do it since, I think, Tom Terrific, Tom Seaver. I think he's the only person to start off, like, pitch two opening days and won them both, I think, if I'm mistaken. I think he struck out, like, I think at least 8 both games or something like that. I'd have to really look at – I'd have to look again what the statistic was. Because the statistic was he did something but for the first time. Like, I think only Seaver only did it. Which, I mean, hey, anytime you're in Seaver, you're in the company of Seaver, you know you're doing something good with the Mets.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like you're in Bible school. If someone, you know, mentions something, hey, if it's something good, just say Jesus and, you know, you're pretty much going to be right. You know, with the Mets, if it's a great statistic on the Mets, you know, pitching-wise, you say Tom Seaver, you know, 99% of the time you'll get it right. So that's you know, shout out to Tyler McGill. Oh, yeah, Verlander, he was supposed to start the home opener, but he got hurt. So Verlander, I think he'll come back some – he'll make his Met debut sometime later this month. And, Verlander got a huge standing ovation. Edwin Diaz, man. Edwin Diaz, he had a standing ovation too. Like, Harry Rose was doing the you know, he was the master of ceremony as usual, and he was like, "Oh yeah," and there was one more guy we didn't bring out, and then they played the. I'm like, who did they sign somebody? Is this like a Roger Clemens, goodness gracious kind of moment when he came out? You know, when he re-signed with you guys in like what was it, 07 or so? So I'm like, who's this guy? So then once you know. The Timmy Trumpet song, the Narco song came up. I'm like, oh shoot, it's Edwin Diaz. So then, you know, he came out on, you know, on crutches, you know, to salute the fans. And, you know, that was, a sign of good things to come. Cause, Alonso, he hit his 150th home run. So that makes him, he passed Carlos Delgado 6 all time. In home run, you know, in home runs, Met all time Met home runs, man. I mean, Lindor homered that day, which was yesterday. Marte also homered. Man, Alonso, man, he's arguably the greatest Met home run hitter of all time, man. Like,
yeah, he's, a, the fastest player to 150 home runs, I think, right now, right?
Second all time. Only Ryan Howard.
Oh, okay.
Only Ryan Howard has you know, he did it in fewer games.
Right.
And if you remember, Alonso.
And just ahead of Judge, I think, too.
Yeah. I mean, Alonso, man, we've never had a slugger like that. Only Strawberry is the only guy, homegrown guy that we had that's like a legit power hitter, you know, that Mets have ever produced. I mean, we've had Piazza, we've had Dave Kingman, you know, and some other sluggers, few and far, in, you know, between, but homegrown guy, I mean, it's Strawberry and you know, Alonso, and then not to mention he hit a home run again today, in today's game. Kodai Senga, man, he's dominated the Marlins. You know, he won his first game, struck out 8, had a shaky start in the beginning. Game 3, I think, of the season. Against the Marlins in Miami, but then he, you know, that fork ball was working. He struck out 8, and then he had a rematch with them in his Citi Field debut, and you know, he did not disappoint the fans. You know, he gave up a home run. He went 6 innings, struck out 6, and then Escobar. He finally went deep. I mean, this guy's now 3 for 30-something, maybe? I mean, he finally had a big hit. And, Francisco Alvarez, you know, he got called up yesterday for the home opener, but he hasn't played yet so far this year. So tomorrow afternoon is going to be his season debut, you know, after the cup of coffee he had late in September of last year. But so right now Alvarez is going to be the backup catcher to Nito. Navarez, the guy who they signed, he got injured. I think he tore his calf or something like that, so he's gone for 2 months. Not to mention Quintanilla, you know, he's hurt, you know, he's going to be gone for like 2 or 3 months. All in all, the Mets, they right the ship. They're losing to the Brewers, you know. Guy Mitt, you know, it wasn't looking good, you know. Steve Cohen wasn't panicking. You know, obviously the players weren't panicking, but, you know, coming to the, you know, to the home opener, getting swept in by the Brewers, you know, coming to the home opener on Friday, you know, with a losing record, 3-4. I mean, it wasn't a good look, but luckily for them, they right the ship, you know, these last couple of games. And hopefully they'll bring the broom to Miami. And then it's going to get tough. We're going to be facing a bunch of West Coast teams. So, yeah, hopefully the Mets can bounce back, because right now, yeah, they're trailing the Braves. The Braves, last time I checked, was like 6-1, so... So they basically, you know, they got a
how serious is this Verlander injury?
It's not serious. It could have been worse. But he expects to pitch. Yesterday he updated us and said that he expects to come back sometime later this month.
Okay.
So that's a good sign right there. I mean,
yeah, that's a okay.
But, yeah, we shall see with that. Darren Ruff, they finally cut him. He returns back to the Giants. And, we'll see, you know, we'll see if Vogelback can, you know, produce somewhat for them, because they desperately need power. Right now, Lindor and Alonso are the only guys who are, like, powering the team off, power-wise. So... you know, we shall see, you know, and hopefully Alvarez will get a shot, you know, to play more. But right now it looks like he's going to be the backup catcher right now. But shifting gears, speaking of the Giants, you know, you boys, you know, you guys were playing against the San Francisco Mets because, you know, you had Conforto, Wilmer Flores, J.D. Davis, and then now Ruff signing a minor league deal. So, I mean, you guys took care of the Giants when they came to town or came back to town, since obviously the Giants used to call New York their home when they had Willie Mays there, you know, in the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up playing, ended up winning the home opener against the Giants. Was it 5-0 was the score in that game? Judge pretty much continued where he left off last season, hitting a home run, you know, in his first at bat. And yeah, Cole looked great. Had, I think, 11 strikeouts in that game. And right now we need Cole and Cortez to carry this pitching staff right now because of all these early injuries. We just had another injury. Connolly right now, he's been placed on the IL. Don't know how long he's going to be on there. Loaizaca, we just put him on the 15-day IL with right elbow inflammation. So right now some injuries right now. So we're going to need, you know, our top two guys to step up. And so far, Cortez and Cole have been doing that. Cole, I think, has close to 20 strikeouts so far in his two starts, and he's won both so far. I think Cortez is also undefeated in both his starts right now. But we ended up winning the series against the Giants at Yankee Stadium. Then we ended up winning the series against the Phillies. Take that 2-1. And so far in this series, it's 1-1 with Orioles won yesterday. And we ended up winning tonight 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Stan hit one of the hardest home runs in the Camden Yards that you'll ever see, 463 yards, blast tonight. And Yohani Brito, I think that's how you pronounce his name. This dude, he's looking good in his first two starts here of the season. So we might have something. You know, maybe we can leave him on the pitching staff, maybe send down Herman. And Herman has looked a bit shaky at times, especially last year. So I'm liking Brito. You know, once Severino and Rodon comes back, we might have to leave Brito in his pitching staff, in his starting lineup.
Yeah, he throws 5 scoreless innings.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean... In his debut, and
he did good today. You know?
And in this game, he allowed just one run and 3 hits. So
yeah, looking good.
You got something there.
Yeah, let's hope he can continue it. And right now, the only thing I'm still concerned about is the offense. We're still leaving runners on base. We're not getting timely hitting. I mean, we're hitting home runs, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Yankees, that's expected because we're the Bronx Bombers, right? But
yeah.
Still want to see some
situational hitting.
Situational hitting, you know. It's not home run all the time, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I'm glad we have DJ LeMahieu healthy. Wish we could have had him in that Astros series last year. But I'm glad that he's back and he helps extend the offense a bit. But I think we should have did more in the offseason. You know, because now we got Josh Donaldson. We've just placed him on IL, so he's going to be injured. And you got guys like Aaron Hicks, you know, who's still inconsistent. And then we brought up Anthony Volpe. He's our starting shortstop. But, you know, he's a young player, so he's going to have his up and downs as expected, you know, during the season. Right now he's batting under 200, so hopefully he can get it going soon. But the offense definitely needs to improve, you know. Maybe we might have to get a mid-season pickup or something. But right now, standing-wise, we're 5-3. We're behind the Rays, who are off to a hot start. Rays are like 8-0. They're undefeated right now. So hopefully we can keep up with those guys. But we'll see. So tomorrow will be the rubber game, and hopefully we can win another series to start the season.
Yeah, I definitely think that's definitely what's going to happen.
Yeah. So what you got to do, win the series and finish with a winning record.
Mm-hmm. That's all you gotta do. Just keep winning series, and you'll love what the results will be afterwards.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Speaking of finishing strong and getting a winning record, congrats to our New York Knicks. They clinched their second time in 3 years. They're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, so congrats. Yeah.
And this team looks, way better than the team that they had 2 years ago when they were just, carrying. They had Randall carry us through that playoff run. The regular season up until, that horrible, series against the Hawks. But now this year, we have a more balanced attack.
I think that team a few years ago played much better defense than this team.
Oh yeah, your hands.
To be honest.
They played way better defense. 2 years ago, 3 years ago than we did. Now we just have a better offense. We're better sharing the ball, and of course Brunson is the X factor.
Oh yeah.
Finally got a healthy point guard that we could rely on.
Yeah, Mavericks. That was a bad decision with them not re-signing Brunson, because now they're not going to even make the playoffs. Now they trade for Kyrie, and they're not even in the playoff picture.
Yeah, and funny how you mentioned that. I was going to mention them too, because they rested most of their starters on Friday night against the Bulls, and now NBA is investigating if they did it on purpose, to screw with the Knicks draft implications,
I hope they get in trouble for that.
I hope so. We got in trouble for tampering, with getting Brunson away from them. Lost the pick because of that. So, hey, we shouldn't have to suffer for that, for what they did on purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So hopefully we won't get penalized by it, because of what they did. Like, they literally rest their whole team.
Yeah, it's not smart.
Mm-hmm.
Go out with pride, at least,
Yeah, and you're trying to, come on. Yeah, that's embarrassing. That was straight up embarrassing. Ain't no sugarcoating it. But yeah, man, Brunson, Hart, his former Villanova teammate, Randall went healthy. I mean, he's gonna miss this series because of his injury. Hopefully, we could find a way to win this series and see what happens, because now we're going to be battling, Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers, topping, when he's in the starting lineup, he produces. Grimes, quickly. Who else am I thinking? Well, the young guy I'm thinking of that, who's been producing lately.
Hartstein off the bench.
Hartstein, man. That guy is a underrated secret MVP of this team. After Brunson, this guy's an unsung hero. This guy, he started Friday night.
He's a hard nosed player.
But yeah, he was a great pickup. That's the third best pickup this year. This calendar year, after Brunson and of course the Hart trade,
like
Walker Frazier said, only the DeBuscher trade has the Knicks had more a trade produced so much for them so instantly.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like heart, man. He has a lot of heart. You got heart and you got Hartenstein, you know. Those guys, they've been bringing it.
Heart Foundation.
Yeah, that, you know what? I love that. That should be their nickname right there. Heart Foundation. Like how did I not think of that? Of course, I should have. The Heart Foundation fans, you know, would come up with this, man. That's beauty. That's beautiful right there. Heart yeah. Foundation. That's their
Foundation.
Name right there. That's it. Heart. Brunson and the Heart Foundation. That's literally the additions that changed the whole complexion of the team.
Yeah.
Barrett, he's played better lately. These last couple of games. Grimes. Of course, Quickly, he's been great the whole entire year.
Oh, yeah, Quickly says, man, this year is his breakout year.
Man, he should be the sixth man.
Yeah.
Who else am I forgetting? I know there's
some people
like...
want him to start in front of R.J. Barrett.
Because
R.J. Barrett has been inconsistent.
You get no arguments from me because Quickly has been bringing it. You know, Barrett, you know, he got to snap out of it. I mean, he looks like he's played better these last couple of games, but Quickly he's been
Barrett, I think sometimes he holds the ball too much, kind of like Randall sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, isolation
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Does
I see when Barrett and Randall are out of the lineup, the ball just moves much better and we run more.
Yeah,
do you notice that?
Yeah, it's true. The other game we they had three Nixon, 30 points.
Yeah, three Nixon with 30 or more points.
And that's the first time they had Nick's 30 point scores, 3 30 point scores, you know, in a game. First time since what, 1979? And of course, all the Pearl Monroe was one of the players that year. So this was the first time since the 3 point era, because the 3 point era started in 1980. So
yeah.
That was the first time that, you know, since the three-point era that you had, in history, because they had, I think all of them had like five three-pointers, I think, in the game too.
Yeah.
So either way, you want to look at NBA history as well. So, yeah, man, top in. I mean, we got to get more playing time for this guy, you know. You know, because this guy, I think he's averaging like what 10 points, 10 minutes or so, or a little over that, and you know he gets the bang for his buck, man.
Well, if Randall out, I mean, if Randall doesn't play in this first round, Thomas gonna get a lot of playing minutes.
Oh yeah, but that's what I'm saying. After this season, you know, we gotta find a way to make him play more because you know he's gonna. He's going to want to leave, you know, at this rate because we're not he's shown every time he, like, practically almost every game he plays where he starts or gets significant playing time, he, you know, he puts up the numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
Still needs to develop a post-up game, though. I mean, he can run, he can jump, I mean, and sometimes he shows that he has an outside shot, but still mm-hmm. needs to develop a post-up game in the paint area.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we'll hopefully. Okay, so who do you think's gonna win this series, Cavs or Knicks?
I'm going with the Knicks. Definitely Knicks in six.
You know, I like that as well. You know, but I think it's gonna go seven. I think Knicks in seven. It's going to be tough. I think it's going to go down to the wire. I hope I'm wrong. Hopefully, we could beat them in four or five or whatever. And, you know, but I think I'm going to pull it off. You know, Donovan Mitchell, that's you got to contain him. Most likely Grimes is going to be the guy who's assigned for that assignment. So... And hopefully we could, stop Donovan Mitchell and keep the Cavs in check. Because that team, that team has been dominating us, period, especially regular season. You know, with LeBron James, and then after LeBron James left, when Kyrie Irving was on that team, they still dominated us. Like, that team has been, like, dominating us a lot. I think this year was, like, the time when we actually, you know, beat them. You know, maybe a few times, I think, if my memory serves me right. But,
yeah.
But
we always
other than that,
down there, too, in Cleveland.
I know. Like, ever since LeBron left, been there, debuted, they've been owning us. And then when he took his town to Miami, you think, hey, okay, we're going to finally beat these guys up. Nope, Kyrie and the Cavs at that time were still whooping our behind. So,
yep.
It was crazy. I think at one point they won at least 13 times against us in a row or something like that, to that effect. Because it was insane. But I think we're going to beat them.
I think so, too. I think it'll be a competitive series.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the Knicks winning in six.
Oh, yeah. Because on paper, you know, everybody, you know, been picking the Cavs for, you know, even before the season. They're like, oh, you know, this is the team that's going to win the final. You know, people were hyping it up once you know, they paired them up with Garland and the, you know, the players they got on that team. So, but we shall see, you know. We gotta vindicate ourselves from not making that trade.
Yeah,
because you could have had a star player who's a Met and a Knicks fan too, man. Like, I mean, you can't get more blue collar than that, you know. I mean, come on. People didn't anticipate that he would take his game to the next level. Like, they're like, oh, you know, Knicks shouldn't get him because you know he's not a superstar. They need superstars, but like. They doubt the guy's hustle, man. Like, if you're a talented player, man, you know what I mean? You take your they underestimated that he could take his game to the next level, which is what I thought would have happened anyway. And he's doing it. He scored like what 71 points in one game, you know, earlier this year. So yeah, Knicks have a lot cut out for them. So
I might go to a playoff game this year, maybe.
Hey,
might be expensive, but we'll see.
Hopefully they can win. Hopefully they can shock the world, but we'll see what happens.
Would you pay $1,000 for a playoff ticket?
Hell no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
nope.
That'd be too expensive.
Shoot.
I went to a playoff game. The most I've ever spent for any playoff game for any sport, probably $200, I think, maybe. And even that, some people might think it's expensive.
I mean, yeah, to me that's expensive. It better be Game 7 of the finals.
These playoff games, man, they could be up there.
Way up there.
You know, so you could probably get some cheap in the, you know, depending on where you're sitting, you could probably get some cheap seats, but playoff time, the tickets are going to increase in price a bit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that, for sure. But, yeah, hopefully we can get out of this first round against the Cavs and see what happens.
Yeah.
And switching gears to the Nets. The Nets, they're you know, congrats to them as well. They they're going to the playoffs and they're going to be battling the 76ers. So this is going to be a tough matchup, you know, because all eyes are going to be on Joel Embiid. You know, can they stop this guy? Which I don't think they will. You know, but yeah, we shall see what will happen, because the Nets have lost, I think, every game this season to the 76ers. I mean, no doubt about it. 76ers are one of the, you know, obviously one of the best teams, you know, in the NBA. Obviously, they've been for a while now. And I think if I'm not mistaken, the Nets are going to be playing against them, I think, tomorrow to end the season, too.
Yeah, that series, if they do end up playing the Sixers, that's going to be a tough series for the Nets. Because Sixers, Embiid, most people think that he should be the MVP of the season. You know, of course, it might actually go to Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic, because, you know, this dude always gets triple-doubles every night. But Embiid is right there. This guy's... He has a double-double every night.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy puts up monster numbers, like close to 30 points, double digits and rebounds, you know. So he would be my vote for MVP, but he's going to present a big problem for the Nets come playoff
mm-hmm.
time.
They have to try to impede Joel Embiid.
Yep.
And that's not going to be easy.
And then you have Harden also from the outside, so,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, they know firsthand about Harden. So
yeah, that might be Harden's revenge game on the Nets.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And so we're gonna have some interesting series coming.
Yeah.
Up.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully, Jalen Brunson could have a career game in this playoff series, kind of like how he did. Last year.
I just hope we all play well. The whole team plays well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Spread the ball, you know, run, play defense, get stops, and win the series.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk about WrestleMania coming up. So, yeah, we'll be right back. You've been listening to Sports Urban Legend. And we're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back. welcome back to Sports of a Legend. Of course, I'm Wayne Ramo, and still with me on the other line, Macaulay Matthew. And yeah, man, let's dive right into WrestleMania. What was your thoughts on WrestleMania 39 overall?
It was I thought it was a good WrestleMania. I mean, it wasn't one of the greatest WrestleManias. Mm-hmm. I thought night one especially had the best matches. I mean,
mm-hmm.
all the matches were great from beginning to end. The weakest match I'd say on night one was probably Austin Theory and John Cena.
Yeah.
You know? But even that match was good, you know. But, yeah, the night one just kept me on my feet, man. I mean, from the entrances to the finishes to, you know, just the matches overall. You know, the Seth Rollins, Logan Paul match was pretty entertaining. The Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, their entrances, and the match itself was great. The Sami Zayn match was the next night. What was the other match?
Sami Zayn was night one. It was
It was night one. Okay, yeah, right. It was night one. Okay, so there you go. So yeah, I mean, yeah, the night one was just spectacular, mm-hmm. and then you go to night two, which was a bit disappointing. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any surprises. No Randy Orton, right? No Rock.
No Stone Cold.
No Stone Cold. No Lashley. You didn't even have Lashley challenging anyone. Right.
That's your LA Knight.
I mean, it was so disappointing. I mean, the only thing to look forward to was the Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes match, and that was even disappointing in itself.
Oh yeah.
So night two definitely didn't live up to expectations, but you still had some good matches on night two. You had the Edge Finn Balor match, which was really good, and I thought the Gunther Sheamus and the Drew McIntyre match, that one was really good too.
Mm-hmm.
Those were actually my two favorite matches of night two.
Yeah, I can't argue with anything you said, man. Like night one was great, and night two was just a complete letdown. You know, the way how night one was, you know, set the course that you're like, if this is night one, man, night two is gonna be off the charts. And like you said, there wasn't that many surprises. I mean, yes, there was, you know, Shane McMahon coming. And I guess the only shocking thing about it is that he tore his quad, you know, in that surprise. And then, of course, the night before that, Pat McAfee popped up and fought the Miz. But, I'll dive more into that. Let's get right into the results right here. Austin Theory defeated John Cena to retain the United States Championship, as I thought would have happened. John Cena, man, that match lasted a little over 10 minutes and, you know, basically, I mean, I guess the shocking thing about it is that Austin Theory, it was a lot more easier, you know, you would have thought it had been a lot more difficult to defeat John Cena. Yeah, he got the low blow, but you would have thought it would have took more to defeat John Cena. I mean, I knew Austin Theory was going to defeat him, but I felt John Cena could have lasted longer. And, you know, it was just an interesting, the way how John Cena fought, it was like secretly his last match because, you know, like it was like how George Lucas says, it's like, you know, poetry, like, you know, basically he started out his first WrestleMania fighting for the United States Championship.
Yeah.
I think that was like the first match in WrestleMania 20 at MSG, if I'm not mistaken, against the Big Show. And then now, fast forward 2023. Wait, that's 20 years ago. Now I think about it, right? No. Actually, WrestleMania 20 was 2004. So yeah, that was 19 years later. He's fighting against Austin Theory for the same United States Championship, but this time in a losing effort. And, yeah, John Cena, I mean, this looked like this could have been secretly his last match, but I guess next WrestleMania will tell. And then moving forward, you had Street Fighter. That's a Street Fighter. Street Profits, you know, of course, it's Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. They defeated Ricochet and Braun Strowman, Alpha Academy, which, of course, has Chad Gable and Otis, and the Viking Raiders, you know, of course, Eric and Ivar. In the men's WrestleMania Showcase, Fatal 4-Way tag team match. I mean, yeah, I thought Street Profits would win. And, you know, obviously they did. To me, I guess, I would say this was the weakest match of the night. Yeah, night one, that I could think off the top of my head. But, hey, you know, it did its job. Street Profits was supposed to win. They wanted the smoke, and they got the victory.
Yeah, I thought the Austin Theory John Cena match was the weakest match compared to the tag team.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't forget about that. I just mentioned them. Yeah. But yeah, it is what it is. You know, Street Profits. You know, they won that match, and then, you know, you had the Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul match, which, to be honest with you, I wasn't really feeling this match, you know, coming off the bat. I mean, I knew it would be an athletic match, knowing both challengers. I mean, but it's like essentially both guys, you know, they're both cocky and arrogant. You know, they want attention all the time. So it was like, I mean, this match is going to be okay. But, you know, exceeded my expectations, you know. Especially with the spot with Logan Paul doing the frog splash into the table, trying to hit Seth Rollins with it, but Seth Rollins in the last second pulled KSI, who was secretly the milkman, the guy in the milk costume, and got the splash instead. And then both of those guys were doing an homage to Shawn Michaels. You know, Seth Rollins was dressed up in, like, old-school Shawn Michaels, and, of course, Logan Paul did the zip line like, you know, Shawn Michaels used to do back in the days.
Yeah, this was like a Shawn Michaels homage match.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely that. And Seth Rollins, you know, he got the victory.
But Logan Paul, man, he's looking like a professional out there.
Yeah,
I mentioned on my other show that, you know, this dude is like flying all over the place. He looks like a seasoned veteran.
Oh yeah.
So
no doubt about that.
WWE will for sure bring him back for WrestleManias to come. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wrestles next year WrestleMania.
Cause yeah, didn't he wrestle last year WrestleMania when he was teaming up with The Miz?
I believe so. Yeah.
And then that's when the Miz turn on him.
Yeah.
And then you had Trish, Lita, and Becky Lynch. They had like this black and white NWO/Sin City kind of intro. And then, of course, you know, they defeated Damage Control, which has Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. And to me, I felt like the only thing that would have made this match better is if they would have made this like a free bird, you know, with the title on the line, you know. But in any case, you know, Trish, Lita, and Becky won. And Damage Control, man, they're looking like a weak team, man. They talk big, but they can never win. They can never win the big matches.
I thought they were going to win this match.
Did I think they were going to win? I thought they were going to lose, but Trish was going to turn on them. That's what I thought was going to happen. But, yeah, it was a good match. It's good to be wrong. You know, I'm glad Trish and Lita and Becky are so cool. And, yeah, it was a great match. then you had a major match. You had Rey Mysterio defeating his son Dominic, and the entrances, man, were phenomenal. You had Rey Mysterio, giving an homage to Eddie Guerrero and the lowrider with Snoop Dogg driving it, and of course they had the Nothing But a G Thing song, and then they went to the, A Lie, Cheat, and Steal, the Eddie Guerrero song. And then before that, they had Dominic Mysterio giving us the backstory of how he was in prison. And, then he wore the evil Rey Mysterio mask. And, it was a good match, you can't fault the match. You had Bad Bunny doing commentary, and then at the very end when Dominic was going to cheat and use the chain to attack his father, Bad Bunny just came out of the commentary and yanked the chain out of his hands, and then Rey hit end up doing the 619 for the victory, which is going to set up their backlash match, where Rey is going to tag team with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest is going to team up with Dominic. And of course, on Monday Night Raw, Damian Priest attacked his former buddy, who he teamed up with last year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, they're gonna face off in a tag team match at Backlash in Puerto Rico. So that's gonna be an interesting matchup right there.
Yeah, that the Dominic and Rey Mysterio entrances, those are the best entrances I've seen in WrestleMania history. Especially wow. The Dominic Mysterio. I mean, going forward, WWE needs to find a way for him to incorporate that anti-Rey Mysterio mask gimmick. That'd be great. I mean, that would put him on another level if he wore that mask as not only a homage to his father, but also as like a anti-Rey Mysterio type gimmick,
He might. He might do that as like a Finn Balor, how Finn Balor, becomes the demon character in big game, pay-per-view matches or premium live events, as they call it nowadays.
Yep.
That might happen. Then you had Rhea Ripley defeat
Charlotte Flair. That was the best match of the night.
Yeah, it was a great match. Rhea Ripley finally got her revenge against Charlotte after Charlotte defeated her for her NXT title a few years ago. Vindication happening. Ric Flair thought this was the match that should have ended night one. I respectfully disagree. I'll get into that, very soon. And then you had Pat McAfee defeat The Miz in a surprise match. And then, of course, the main event, the match of the night, which I disagree with Ric Flair because the Sami Zayn story, this guy has been the MVP of WWE this past year. And I felt, in a better storyline, he should have been the one that was fighting against Roman Reigns in the main event. But, they had the plan of Cody Rhodes fighting against Roman Reigns ever since he returned. So they wanted to go full speed ahead of with that plan. So to me, I felt Sami Zayn earned the spot to compete for the title again, like he did in Montreal. But, yeah, we're going to get into that in a few minutes. So, yeah, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeated the Usos for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, and you know, congrats to the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because those are the guys who should have won it for sure. What's your thoughts?
You're talking about the Sami Zayn match?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this match went well. Actually, me and Will had a bet that night when we were at the bar. We were amongst a bunch of wrestling fans, and my bet was that I thought Jimmy was gonna intentionally cost the Usos the titles. He was gonna do something intentionally to cost them the tag team titles. You thought, or you betted, that he was gonna accidentally cost them the titles. Neither one of us was correct, because Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens got a clean win in this one. No interference. Jimmy didn't do anything. Jay didn't do anything intentionally or accidentally to cost them the titles. And they got a clean win. So, you know, kudos to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. They deserve it. And hopefully they can hold these titles for a long period of time, you know. Maybe even challenge them with the Montez and
Angelo Dawkins.
Yeah, maybe they can challenge them. We'll see.
They already did on Raw.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot all about that. Yeah, you're right about that. But you might see upcoming matches with them. You know, because I don't think that's the only match that they'll have. You know, you'll have some pay-per-view matches between these tag teams.
I even thought that the Street Profits was going to turn heel, because they kind of like was kind of teasing that when they were pushing them in the ring.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. So congrats to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You know, real life best friends, known each other for almost 20 years. They won, you know, this was the first tag team titles they won together, you know, since I think they were in a different company with each other, like over a decade ago. So, you know, congratulations to him, to both of them, actually. And then night two came, and after this, you know, after the, you know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, you're like, man, this interview was great, man. You know, hopefully, you know, night two is going to be great. If night one was this good, you know, we're thinking night two is going to be even better. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. You know, you had Brock Lesnar defeat Omos, which, you know, I thought Omos was going to win this one because, you know, they would try to put over a new star. Obviously, my mind was telling me Lesnar's going to win because, obviously, Lesnar is better. But, you know, I would have thought this would have been an opportunity for Omos to actually get a win, you know, a big win, which would have been a feather in his cap, you know, beating Brock Lesnar. But it was short and sweet, you know, it was less than 5 minutes, you know. Omos dominated most of the match, and then Brock Lesnar went on a roll and hit the F5, you know, hit a couple of German suplexes, hit the F5, and went home, basically. Until, you know, he attacked Cody Rhodes on Monday Night Raw, but we'll get into that. Then you have Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, defeat Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya and Shotzi, and, of course, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler won by submission in a fatal four-way women's WrestleMania showcase match. Gunther defeated Sheamus and Drew McIntyre in the triple threat match to retain his Intercontinental Championship. I thought Sheamus was going to win that since, you know, the Intercontinental title was the title that eluded him the most, you know, in WWE. Of course, Drew McIntyre, he hasn't won that title since his Chosen One days. So that was also a possibility, but nope, Gunther held on, which was a, you know, a good smash mouth match between the, you know, the three European wrestlers there.
Yeah, that match was I thought that match was probably the best match of the night two, when I think about it. Just ahead of Edge and Finn Balor.
Yeah, that was a match that we all expected. We all knew it was going to be hard hitting, you know, with those three wrestlers and the chemistry all three of those guys have in the ring with each other. It lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
The only thing that was surprising was, you know, we thought Gunther would finally lose, but Gunther, man, he's been unbeatable, you know. I mean, the guy was, like, undefeated, I think, over 2 years when he was in NXT. But now he's a new Intercontinental Champion, and he's hard to beat still, so.
Yeah.
No surprise that he retained the title, but we just assumed that Sheamus would finally win the title because, you know, they were definitely hyping it up that this is Sheamus's time.
I thought Gunther was going to retain it. I think that was my pick.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, because, Gunther has been dominant.
Because he's been so, you know, on this winning streak. I didn't think he was going to lose the title, so.
You were right about that. And another thing we were right about was Bianca Belair defeating Asuka to retain the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Can you guess what Asuka's record now at WrestleMania is?
Wow, I don't think she's won at WrestleMania.
That is correct. She's 0-5.
Yeah, that sucks.
And mind you, she was undefeated all the way for like over 2 years from NXT all the way to WWE. Do you remember when was her first loss?
Charlotte, maybe.
You got it.
Yep.
That WrestleMania 5 years ago, that was her first WWE loss at WrestleMania. Won the Royal Rumble. She was like the first woman to win the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble. Dominated, and then she loses her first match, and it ended her undefeated streak of over 2 years, including NXT, and she gets her first loss, just when she was going to win the title. Man, it was like the '90s Buffalo Bills or Tom Brady against the Giants that first year with Eli.
Yeah.
Like, she lost it at the worst possible time.
That sucks.
Yeah, 0-5, man. I think she even tweeted that, you know, that maybe she should go back to Japan. So, I mean, yeah, man, WWE, man, they need to... Yeah, man, she got snap out of this this losing streak.
For real, 0-5? Wow.
And Bianca Belair, she's undefeated. Yeah, at WrestleMania. You know what her record is?
Bianca's like 2-0 right now.
I think she's 3-0.
Is she 3-0?
I think so. Because she beat Asuka. She beat, I think, was it Becky Lynch? Was it Becky Lynch last year?
Didn't she win the title last year?
She
When did she win the title?
Because she lost it twice. She won it twice, remember? She won it against, I think the first time she won it was against, what's her name? What's her name again? Sasha Banks. She what was it, SummerSlam?
Oh, she beat Sasha Banks last year at WrestleMania?
Was it last year or 2 years ago? Remember she lost the title to Becky Lynch, you know, at SummerSlam in like 26 seconds or so.
Oh, yeah.
Then she beat Becky Lynch for the title at WrestleMania. Yeah, let me see. I think she's 3-0. Let me make sure.
Yeah,
right.
Check that.
Let me make sure. Let's see. Bianca Belair and Sasha was WrestleMania 37. Let's see. Yeah, there's a. Let me just double check. Yeah, I was right. She WrestleMania 37. She beat Sasha for the title. Then what was it? Then last year she defeated Lynch to regain the title. And then of course what was it last week? She retained the title against Asuka.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's 3-0. She's undefeated. What else happened? So yeah, so you know, congrats to Bianca Belair there.
Yep.
Then you had, I think Bobby Lashley popped up. I think around this time probably, or maybe before the Gunther match, because WWE, man, they really messed up. They really messed up. They were hyping. You have Bobby Lashley hyping up for weeks, for over a month that he's going to be at WrestleMania. Of course, yeah, he's scheduled to go against Bray Wyatt. But Bray Wyatt, you know, had an injury, illness or something like that, they're saying. So he, you know, that match got scrapped. But, you know, Bobby Lashley was hyping up the match the whole time that he was gonna fight somebody, and then
he didn't end up fighting anyone.
Yeah, he only fought at, you know, the SmackDown, you know, to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, and then basically he just pops up in night two, hoisting the trophy, and that was it. Like, you literally could have used them in the surprise, any of the surprise matches with The Miz. Yeah. So basically, who did they use? Did they use Bobby Lashley? Nope. Did they use LA Knight, the other guy who's been hyping up a match, you know, for the longest time, you know, saying literally, you can't have an LA WrestleMania without LA Knight? They didn't use them. And supposedly there was a rumor that both of those guys were going to fight each other at WrestleMania, and they scrapped that idea, which was dumb. Like, how do you not use any of those guys? Like, it's an utter joke.
That's stupid. Very stupid.
So, yeah. So, instead, who did they use? Here comes the money.
Shane McMahon.
Here we go. Here comes the money. And faster than the song can play, he's doing his Ali shuffle, and you know, before you could say Shane O'Mac quad, and you know, and when this happened, I'm like, is this for real, or is this part of the plan or something? So then once I saw the referee was about to motion the medical staff, and then they like. They purposely not showed, because you know, like, you know, the fans know now. You know, the wrestlers when they do the X sign, that means it's a legit injury. But you know, since WWE knows, we know that now. They purposely didn't show her the referee motioning. The medical staff. So I'm like, this is it. So then, and then they didn't focus on Shane McMahon at all. So I'm like, okay, this is real. And then sure enough, Snoop Dogg calls an audible, you know, The Miz, and gets a win, his first WrestleMania win.
Yeah, that was a nice that was some nice improv by Snoop Dogg there.
Well, he's a rapper, so you know he's you know he's used to freestyling.
Yeah. Yep.
So you know, props to Snoop Dogg. You know, after you know coming out with Rey Mysterio the night before that, he gets his first WrestleMania win. And you know what? Shout out to the Hall of Fame people. You know, Stacey Keibler, Andy Kaufman, a long overdue Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah, well deserved.
I'm trying to remember who else got inducted that day also. Oh yeah, Tim White. You know, one of the greatest referees, you know, in WWE history. Is there one or two more people I'm missing that I can't think of the top of my head?
You said Rey Mysterio, right?
Oh, Rey Mysterio, of course. Well, how could I forget Rey Mysterio? That's what I was, you know, talking about it. Yeah, Rey Mysterio. There could be one more person I'm missing too, but.
You said
yeah.
Tori?
No, not
Tori.
Stacey Keibler was the first person I said.
Wait, wasn't it Tori?
No, Stacey Keibler. Tori.
Oh yeah,
and
it was
Mick Stacey. Foley.
Right. It was
Tori and Mick Foley. You know, inducted Tori Wilson. Not Tori Wilson. Now you got me saying Tori.
Stacey
Keibler.
Yeah.
Was there another old school wrestler too? Let me see. Or maybe there was four or five people. Okay, let me do the math in my head. Stacey Keibler, Andy Kaufman, Tim White, Rey Mysterio, and was there one more person?
I can't think of anyone else. Who's there? I think that was it.
Let me see. WWE, Hall of Fame, inductees. Is there one more person I'm missing that I didn't mention? Okay, let's see. Oh yeah, Great Muta.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right. I didn't even get the chance to see the list. He just popped,
right.
he popped in my head. Yeah, so congratulations to all the Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah, congrats.
That was a great class. And then let's see, what else was it? Edge defeated the Demon Finn Balor, you know, in the first Hell in the Cell match in 7 years, which is why I've been saying for so many years that Hell in the Cell, as much as I love the Hell in the Cell match, it shouldn't be an annual event. It should only be for, you know, like to end a big main event, you know, especially, you know, at a WrestleMania, you know. But if you have a Hell in the Cell match and, you know, it's a Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event, I mean, it's like, it kind of kills the surprise of what the main match is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't have a feud at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view event and be like, you know what? This match has been this feud has been going on with us all year long. Guess what? Me and you, we're going to have a chairs match. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. This is the most craziest stipulation they could have at Hell in a Cell, a chairs match to settle the feud. Like, I mean, come on. Like, What are we doing here? That's why it made sense that they stopped having the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event matches and have the Hell in the Cell matches for feuds where it matters the most.
Yeah.
And not just a obligatory one Hell in the Cell for the men and one Hell in the Cell for the women, you know, without even if the feud deserves it or not. Like, you know, I'm glad that they did that, and you know,
yeah,
Edge got his.
Turned out to be a great match.
Yeah, and most importantly, Edge got his revenge back.
Yeah.
Against the Demon Finn Balor.
And that entrance, he also had a great entrance as Booed Edge.
Mhm. And then of course Demon Finn Balor made his long way to return.
Yep.
And, you know, Edge got his victory. He got his vindication for what they did to his wife, Beth, you know, when they forced him to quit in the I Quit match. And that should end the feud, I presume. And now there's rumors that maybe WWE's trying to get Christian to come back to WWE and, you know, have Edge, you know, have one more match with Christian. Maybe tag team each other, go on a run. But I don't know what Christian's contract is with AEW. I think he popped up recently with his longtime team member from Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus. So I don't know how long he's going to have in AEW. And not to mention AEW, FTR re-signed with AEW and defeated the Guns, you know, Billy Gunn's sons, to be the new tag team champion. So congrats to them. So that's, you know, a little brief AEW news. And last but not least, Roman Reigns defeated Cody Rhodes with a little help from Solo Sikoa, you know, in a match which, you know, we all thought Cody Rhodes was going to finish the story. And
I picked Roman Reigns.
Well, mostly everybody, including me, thought Roman Reigns was going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, you were right. Cody Rhodes did not finish his story yet. You know, he's going to have to wait a little while longer, maybe SummerSlam or WrestleMania or Survivor Series. You know, he's going to have to wait a little longer. And right now, yeah, Cody Rhodes is going to have to get his revenge on Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar attacked him when he was supposed to tag team with him on Monday Night Raw. And I was thinking, man, this is going to be the first time Brock Lesnar is going to, you know, fight on a Raw episode, like first time in like over a decade.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was thinking he was going to attack him, you know, when he first came out, you know, in the beginning of the show on Raw. And then afterwards, you know, then he turned on Cody just before the match started. And the rest is history. I haven't seen Brock Lesnar destroy somebody like that since, you know, he did 16 suplexes on John Cena, or he bloodied Randy Orton that SummerSlam pay-per-view event many years ago. So yeah, all in all, night one was the better event to be desired.
Yeah.
No Stone Cold, no Rock. Yeah, that not too many surprises. I mean, obviously you had Shane McMahon, but he tore his quad. But yeah, other than that, night two like left a lot to be desired. So hopefully next year will be a lot better.
Still turned to be a good WrestleMania. I mean, not great, but it was, you know, it was good.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess that's about it. Anything else you'd like to talk about before we head out?
Everyone have a great Easter weekend, and come back here. Check out Sports of Religion every Saturday at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, man, you heard the man. Check out his show, iMac. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. Check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for tuning in to this show, Sports Urban Legend. I hope to see you guys next time, and hope you guys have a great holy weekend, you know. Of course, after, you know, Good Friday was a few days ago, and today's Resurrection Sunday and / Easter. And I hope you guys, you know, you have a wonderful Passover, a wonderful Easter day and holiday week. God bless. See you guys soon. Peace. And most importantly, he has risen.